I've asked Homer to minister again tonight. Would you welcome Mr. Homer Betancourt? Hallelujah.
Famous Homer.
He actually did. I introduced him at the conference, and once I got him started, he asked a question. I was trying to tell him something, and then he told me to quiet down because he had the mic.
Where am I at? Where's the... Oh, okay. The plastic thing isn't here?
They're going to bring it down right now.
Right now.
That'll give you some place.
I see the lights there. I see Marty's beautiful face.
Okay, good. It's only dark outside.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't believe Pastor Bronk quoted one of my favorite psalms. I did not give him permission. Psalm 62 and 63, I love them. You know, Pastor quoted the beginning and the end of that psalm, but and powerful. I love that psalm. But in between it, David said, I'm paraphrasing, haven't gone through 62 in a while. You know, he's boasting about the goodness of the Lord and about the power of God, and he will not greatly move. But between there, he says, my enemies, they'll be like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. What he's saying is, all my adversaries, they're flimsy. Compared to the power of my God, everybody that rises up, they're just flat out flimsy. They don't stand a chance. And I mean, that man with an unregenerate spirit had a godly, I don't know if I can use this word, arrogance about him that just second to none. He just knew that he knew that he knew that he could not lose a battle. He even said in 119 that rivers of water run down my face because of my enemies that keep not the law of God. Basically, he says, okay, boys, I got to wake up in the morning. I got to gird myself, and I got to go take care of business. You're through. I'm going to have to kill you because you do not keep the law of God. He was that confident. He said, I keep the law. You don't keep the law. This is a one-sided affair. I'm going to rise up for battle, and I'm going to slay you, and I'm going to kill you because I keep it, and you don't. You know, that, what a mindset to have, to know that no matter what is at hand, that we cannot and absolutely will not be defeated. An old covenant saint had that. We got the word of God, the gospel, and we got a born-again spirit, man. That is an excellent thing to have. That's an excellent position to be in. Amen? I had to throw that in there. Hallelujah. Glad to be here. Pastor called me. They said, prepare. You might be minister. I said, okay, whatever you say, big dog. You're the boss. So I'm here. I mean, what do you prepare? No, I don't ever prepare. I figure he won't take me outside of what I know. So I just, usually what I've been meditating is what I'll minister. I mean, and I've been in the Proverbs lately and the book of James. And they so parallel each other so much. I mean, so much. I mean, from an unregenerate perspective to a man that's born again, but they parallel each other so much. So much. I'm just amazed at how, and usually I go from Proverbs 13 to 22. I touch 23, 24, 25, 26 a little bit, but they 13 through 22 seem to carry about the same meaning. I've been in the Proverbs about the power of the tongue. And, you know, the book of James, it's just these last 2 days, I've had to call Pastor Bronk a little bit to make sure I wasn't off on certain revelations, and he basically got what I got. No, I got what he got, and we got what each other got, and we got the same thing. So I was just within James, and it's just unlocking, it's just unfolding line upon line in the last 2 days. It's just incredible about the power of the tongue and along with Proverbs, and Proverbs has been so saturating me. You know, there's just, and I urge you, if there's an issue that you have in your life, you know what your issues are. I don't know what, well, I might, and you might know what my issues are, but if you go to Proverbs and you read chapter 13 through 22, you're going to find something in there that has to do with the issue that you have. I'm telling you, I promise at least maybe more than once. So I've just been going through the Proverbs. I've just go and start and go and start, and there's just certain ones that I know that the Holy Ghost through the old covenant is speaking to me more in the lines of we cannot contradict that which is perfect. How many of you know his word is perfect? Granted, a lot of the Proverbs talk about the mouth, the tongue, about each other, but more than anything, we cannot contradict that which is perfect. We cannot contradict it, either by lifestyle or either by our tongue. You know, so I go through Proverbs and I read these Proverbs and I'm just mesmerized by them, by what I hear Solomon say. Things like, he that has knowledge spareth his words. He that has knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs that say, he that keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. The heart of the righteous studieth how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly unto him. It's so powerful, because we think that we have the liberty to say anything we want to say. We just think we can just say what, especially contradicting God's word. Somebody said one time, I don't know where it was, I think they said it was sarcasm. They said they were to an extent making fun of confession. And they said, well, how many times do you got to say it before it's right? In a little mockery a little bit. And they said, well, how many times do you got to say it before it's wrong? Well, let me tell you something. The moment we confess God's word, it's right immediately. We don't confess it because it's right. We confess it to believe what's right. So the person said, well, how many times do you got to confess it before it's wrong? Well, let me tell you something. The moment you contradict that which is right, that's wrong immediately. You don't have to confess it over and over again for it to be wrong. If you contradict God's word, it's wrong right off the bat. And the book of James is so powerful, so powerful, so powerful. And then I read the book of Proverbs, and it's teaching me so much. Not really about my brothers and my sisters. Now, we know we can't talk about each other. Because if I talk about you, if I speak about you, if I have a grudge against you, you're not my problem, according to James. The Bible says that I'm holding the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. See, you're not my problem. If I can't get along with you, if your stronghold bothers me, if I judge you, if I speak evil of you, you're not my problem. I have a problem with royal law. You know what royal law is? To love your neighbor as yourself. You're not my problem. The royal law is my problem, because I'm picking and choosing which one of the Ten Commandments that's inside of my spirit I'm going to keep. So you're not my problem. I have a problem with royal law. Royal law is to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm picking and choosing what I'm going to keep and what I'm going to disannul. That, my friends, equals chapter 1 of James. You're a double-minded man. Why? Because you're choosing. He says, he that said, do not murder, says, do not commit adultery. Now, that word commit adultery has been raised to a new level, my friends. That word murder, is the bar has been raised on do not murder. It's not a physical murder. It's hating your brother and your sister and mistreating them. That's what murder is. The bar has been raised on the 10. The bar has been raised. So I'm here to tell you, just go through Proverbs, man. Go through, my God. It talks about jealousy. It talks about rage. Whatever the case may be, there's a verse in there for me. So what do? I take it and I just say that verse, not to memorize it, but I say it over and over and over and over again till it becomes a part of me. The verse that I love the most, that the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. I especially love the one again. I'm going to quote it again. He that has knowledge, listen to this now. Judge yourself as I judge myself. He that has knowledge spareth his words. Listen to that now. We're so free to think that we can respond to anything on the face of this earth, regardless of who it is. We feel that we have the liberty to respond to it and to defend ourselves no matter what the circumstance. Proverbs says something totally different. He said, he that has knowledge spareth his words. Listen to this. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding has an excellent spirit. Listen to this. He said, even a fool. Listen to this now. Now, we are born again, Holy Ghost-filled believers. He said, even a fool when he holds his peace, even a fool when he holds his peace is counted wise. He said, he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. He said, he that has no rule over his spirit. Listen to this now. Listen to this. He that has no rule over his spirit. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Let's judge ourselves. I know I judge myself with God's word. He said, he that has no rule over his spirit is like a city that's broken down, having no walls. Listen to this. He or she that has no rule over their spirit is like a city broken down, having no walls. When a city's broken down, having no walls, that means when it had walls, it was a what? A fortified city. Wrong or right? The city was fortified. So meaning the enemies could come and try to take that city over, but the city was fortified. It was protected from the enemy. So he said, he that ruleth not his spirit is like a city broken down, having no walls. If I can't rule my spirit, if I'm quick to respond habitually, if I'm quick to get anger, to be angry, if I'm quick to have rages of jealousy, you know what I've become? I've become a city that used to be fortified. I used to be fortified. But if I can't rule my spirit, I've become a city whose walls are broken down. And if my walls are broken down and I live inside of that city, I have become absolute free game to who? To the enemy. Free game to the enemy. Free game to the enemy. Why? Because I can't rule my spirit. I feel I have the right to answer you any way I want to answer you. Now I'm talking about habitually, in line with the book of James. That's why the rich man in the book of James was judged, because he would not repent of what he was doing habitually. I'm not talking about a believer that's pressing in, getting up in the morning, spending time with Jesus, praying your hours in tongues, fast. I'm not talking about that believer, though it's not right and it is still sin. But Proverbs said, he that ruleth not his spirit is like a city that's broken down, having no walls. In contrast, he said, he that is slow to anger. This is my favorite, because I used to have a temper. He that is slow to anger is greater than the mighty. Here you go. Here's the contrast. He that is slow to anger is greater than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. My friends, if we learn to control our tongue, and you know what? The tongue has gotten, it's gotten beat up way too much, because the tongue isn't the problem. The tongue just spits out what's in our heart. You know, the tongue can be bridled. If you're not double-minded, if you walk according to the law of liberty, if you walk according to what's right, to the engrafted word, you can bridle your tongue. It's if you are double-minded and you don't walk according to the law of liberty, if you don't walk according to the engrafted word, then, my friends, then, you are that person that rules not his spirit. Open game to the enemy. Proverbs is so powerful. And I can honestly say, the moment my mind starts to drift and I begin to put, like Barry Johnson said in one of his teachings, the moment I begin to put a face in front of that verse, I shrug my head. I said, no. This isn't about your wife. This is about you. You said you wanted to be discipled by Jesus Christ and by his word. No, Homer, this verse is for you. It's not for your wife. It's not for Alice. It's not for Miss Candy in the book of Proverbs. It's not about Miss Candy, about the woman, you know, Proverbs. It's not about Miss, quit judging Miss Candy. Proverbs is teaching me to rule this, to rule my spirit. He that answereth a matter. Here's one for all of us. He that answers a matter before he heareth it. He that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly unto him. He that keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. So much parallel between Proverbs and James. So much. He that keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Here's another one. And they're pouring out of me. He that covers a transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. They all got to do with the tongue. Every single one of them. He that covers a transgression. Hey, Pastor Bronk, I got to talk to you. I got to have lunch with you. I love Julio, Pastor Bronk. God, I love him. Can you pick me up at 12? I got to tell you something. Just because I mean, you got to pray for him. How many of you been guilty of that before? Nobody raised their hands. You got it? They all have to do with the tongue. They all have to do with the tongue. Every single one of them. 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words, they stir up anger. The mouth of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning unto his lips. Here's one that's a nutshell for all the Proverbs put together, all under this umbrella. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. All the Proverbs fall under that proverb. It's the last proverb in chapter 15, I believe. He said, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. So the Proverbs have been just tearing me up and edifying me and judging me, and I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Complete parallel to the book of James. James it's been unfolding and unlocking the last 2 days, like, and I've gone through James for years. I don't know how many times I've gone through James. Maybe in the last 2 days, maybe 10 to 15 times in the last 2 days, just over and over and over again. Poor Pastor Bronk, I won't leave him alone. What are you doing, Pastor Bronk? I'm fixing to take a shower. Okay, can I ask you this? Yeah. Call him back again. What are you doing? I'm still taking a shower. So come on, man, answer the question. I mean, I won't leave him alone. But the only funny thing about it, I called him at 11:15. He was going to take a shower. And 11:16, he was done taking a shower. I said, Pastor Bronk, did you use soap, Pastor? 1 minute. Took him 1 minute. But the Proverbs are flat out. You can edit that, Miss Candy. I'm sure Pastor Dave doesn't want to know that one of his pastors doesn't use soap when he bathes. I don't hear Pastor Bronk laughing. You ain't laughing, Pastor? Hallelujah. But Proverbs is an absolute masterpiece. Absolute master. Especially the one I love. I'm going to go into James a little bit. I'm going to be done. Listen to this. He that ruleth not his spirit, like a city broken down, having no walls. That in by itself could teach me and you volumes. We can't afford to say what we want to say. It's a violation of what? The inner witness. It's a violation of the inner witness. But I felt I had to say it. I had to say it. I just had to. Why? Because I had to. I had to say it. I know these things. I have discernment. He that handleth a matter wisely findeth good. He that trusteth in the Lord findeth good. Go to Proverbs, man. There's a couple of Proverbs in there waiting with your name on it. You'll know when you're there. You'll read them and they'll hit the spot in you. And they'll minister to you. You take that proverb and you just, what I do is when I go through Proverbs, I go to one that it hits the spot. So instantaneously, what I do is what Pastor Dave taught us to do. I'll go to that proverb. This is what I do. People say, you got a good mind. No, I don't. I just go over the same stuff over and over again. I have no special gift. I guarantee you, your IQ is higher than mine. But I'm just crazy enough to go over it over and over again until I get it. That's all. Well, you're a teacher, you're a priest. That doesn't mean nothing. I'm just stubborn, man. So what I do when I go through Proverbs, I'll go to that proverb that hits the spot in my spirit, and instantaneously I'll put my CD player on pause, and I'll repeat that proverb 10 times. 10 times. And then I'll go and go to the next one. And when I find another one that hits the spot, it bears witness with my spirit, I'll push pause, and I'll quote that 10 times. And I'll go out through the whole Proverbs, and every one that hits the spot with me, that bears witness with my spirit, I memorize it. Not to memorize it, but I want it to change me. I want it to change my thinking. I want it to change my conduct. I want it to change my speech. Go to Proverbs. I'm telling you, there'll be maybe one, maybe two, because you don't have that many issues in your life. There might be two at the most that might minister to you. But so far, I'm at about 30 and still going strong, man. I said, surely that's it. I don't need no more, Lord. No, keep going. One more chapter. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Are you calling me evil? No, you called yourself evil, not me. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Here's the last one. My favorite. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. We win, Pastor Brunk. There is no wisdom, counsel, or understanding against the Lord. We win, my friends. Everything in a nutshell. This word is given to me and you to make me and you better people. We know we have issues already. Therefore, the Father gives us his word to change me, to renew our mindset, to renew our thinking, to saturate our soul, to renew our mindset. Amen. In the book of James, real quick. And I'm not going to teach it. I'm just going to, in paralleling Proverbs, the book of James is regarding a man going through a diverse temptation. I used to think 1 Peter and James were identical, but no, but 1 Peter has to deal with a temptation that a brother was going through being persecuted by another brother. That's what 1 Peter's talking about. James is talking about a believer that's persecuted himself. In other words, the book of James is making reference to a believer that's struggling with himself, either to do right or to do wrong. He says, wherefore, my brethren, let every man, here we go again, Proverbs, hearing, saying, not saying, studying how to answer, being slow to speak. He said, my brethren, let every man be quick to listen. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. He that ruleth not his spirit is like a city broken down, having no walls. He that is slow to anger is greater than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit, and he that taketh the city. My brethren, James chapter 1. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart, what? All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Well, let me ask you a question. We're in a classroom. How do I receive with meekness the engrafted word? Somebody give it a shot, except Pastor Bronk. Let every man be quick to listen. Now, the verse before that, he said, by his own will, he begat all of us by the word of truth. He said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I remember, in context, he's talking to a believer that's fallen in a diverse temptation. He's giving me and you instruction. You're in a diverse temptation, Carl. I got good news for you. Say, Carl, be quick to listen. In a temptation, in a diverse temptation, Carl, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. How do I receive with meekness the engrafted word? Everyone should be quick to listen. Quick to listen to what? The engrafted word. He's talking to a believer. He's talking to a rich man believer that was double-minded, and he's talking to one that was a brother of low degree. He's talking to two believers here, one that's double-minded and one that isn't double-minded. The one that isn't double-minded, he's quick to listen. He's slow to speak, and he's slow to wrath. He said, the wrath of man, it works not the righteousness of God. Well, what's the righteousness of God? The what? The word is the righteousness of God that he wants me and you to be quick to listen to. If we're quick to listen to the righteous word of God, that's the engrafted word. The engrafted word is the law of liberty. The law of liberty is royal law. You know, the Greek says that the law of liberty is the law that brings liberty. If you're in a trial, I'm going to give you a shortcut in these next 5 minutes. I'm going to give you a shortcut in these next 5 minutes of how to overcome your trial, according to James. So let every man be quick to listen. Quick to listen to what? The engrafted word. Be quick to listen to that. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. What Proverbs make reference to? Calm it down. You don't have to respond all the time. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is the engrafted word. Be quick to listen to the engrafted word that lives inside of you. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, it works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, which meaning anything excess that lives inside of your soul. He said, kick it to the curb, man. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But what? But be ye what? Doers of the word, and not what? Hearers only. So, I'm quick to listen to the engrafted word. The engrafted word is the righteousness that he wants me to work. He tells me to receive with meekness the word. What does it mean to receive it with meekness? When I hear it, and I do it. I receive it with meekness. Because when I hear that engrafted word, when I know what's right, it's not a verbal hear. It can be a verbal hear with my spiritual ear or with my natural ear, but it is something that lives inside of every single born-again believer. You hear it. If you're born again, you hear the engrafted word. But we have to far exceed hear. We have to do what we hear. You want instruction on how to overcome a diverse temptation, James gives it to us cut and dry. He said, if you hear, and you will hear, if you're born again, you will hear, you'll know what to do. Because you're born again, and because the word of truth that begat you, that brought you into the kingdom, it was an external word. Now that which was external is now internal, and it's called the engrafted word. And it is my righteousness. I want you to be quick to listen to my righteousness. And if you hear it, which I know you'll hear it, because you're born again, if you hear the engrafted word, which you will hear it, and you do it, you will be blessed in your deed, and your exaltation out of that diverse temptation is right there, partner. It is right there. So you want out of your situation? You want out of it? Keep the royal law. Keep it. What's royal law? To love your neighbor as yourself. You want to stay. And, you know, the rich man in the book of James, he wasn't in a diverse temptation. He was in flat out sin. He could receive nothing of the Lord. He couldn't receive an exaltation. He wasn't in a diverse trial for the gospel's sake. He was in flat out sin. He was double minded as they came. That's a whole nother different teaching there. Same context, but I don't have time to go into that. And if we're quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to wrath, if we're quick to hear that engrafted word, which is the righteousness of God, we receive with meekness the engrafted word, we do well in our deed. And that diverse temptation that we're in, it's just a matter of time before the exaltation from the Father comes in our life. Because we are heeding and obeying royal law. What's royal law? I love you as myself. You are my neighbor and I love you. There's no partiality in me. I'm not going to esteem the rich man over the poor man. If I do that, if I esteem somebody with money or somebody that doesn't have money, the guy with money and the guy without money, they're not my problem. My problem is that I'm making myself a lawgiver. I'm making myself a judge. I'm esteeming certain parts of God's word over the other parts of God's word. I'm making myself a judge. And a judge saves and destroys. And if I'm not trying to save you, my brother, then I'm trying to what? Destroy you, because I'm making myself a judge. Go ahead. Let's not rule our spirit. Let's not be quick to listen. Let's be slow to listen. You see what happens. You'll operate out of that leftover residue. You'll operate according to that lasciviousness and superfluity of naughtiness. You'll operate according to that leftover residue that's in our soul. But James says, if you're quick to listen and you're slow to speak and slow to wrath, so if you receive with meekness the engrafted word, you'll do well. A shortcut in that diverse temptation, keep royal law. What's wrong? Well, I don't understand James. It's a hard book. Okay, I'll give you that. It took me years to break James. Okay, I'll give you that. I'm going to teach you something that's not hard to understand. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It doesn't take hours of tongues to figure that one out. If it doesn't, you have Pastor Brock lay his hands on you because you got problems. Love your neighbor as yourself is royal law. If I can do that, I fulfilled all the law. And if I fulfilled all the law, I've obeyed the engrafted word. And if I've obeyed the engrafted word, I'm not double-minded. And if I'm not double-minded, chapter 4, I'm not an adulterer. And if I'm not an adulterer, chapter 4, I'm not a friend of the world. And if I'm not a friend of the world, then I've resisted the devil. And if I've resisted the devil, I've drawn nigh unto God. And if I've drawn nigh unto God, he's drawn nigh unto me. Drawn nigh unto God is what we think it is. It's drawing nigh to the inward witness. Drawing nigh to the engrafted word. And we can draw nigh to him at all times. He's right there, ready to exalt me and you out of that diverse temptation, my brothers and sisters. It's there. It's a promise. So can we afford really, really to open up our mouths anymore? Can we afford to be partial within ourselves? I'm not talking perfection, I'm talking holiness. Can we afford to disannul? You know why, let's say for teaching purposes, do you know why I'm going to use myself just to teach you? I'm going to just teach you something that I'm done. In the natural, it's a fact that I probably can see 90%. In the natural, that's a fact. Only one problem with that. Will the words blind ever come out of my born-again spirit? No. No, they won't come out. It's a natural fact. So then, I'm born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost abides in my spirit. My mind is being renewed daily by God's word. You just said, and I just said, that righteousness comes out of my spirit. That perfect instruction comes out of my spirit. If he says I'm healed from his word, my mind is renewed, comes from within. If he says I'm healed, if his word said that he bore my sickness and he carried my pains, and I contradict that, is that not to an extent a man that's double-minded? I disannulled perfection. I disannulled perfection. He's telling me what I am, but my natural mindset, my natural thinking contradicts what he said that I am. I love what Gary says about James, about the tongue. Now, what I'm getting here, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to me. I got all this straight from the Holy Ghost. Years of James, years of meditating it. We have to be so careful what we say about each other, about ourselves, and about God's word. It's holy and it's undefiled. I don't want to be a double-minded man, because a double-minded man, I'm talking about habitually, guys. I'm not talking about me and you that will slip up and say the wrong thing on occasion. That's not what I'm making reference to, because we're trying. We're all trying. We all pray in the Holy Ghost. We all fast. We all spend time with Jesus. So we won't make those errors. I'm talking about the believer that habitually does this, man. You're double-minded, receiving nothing of the Lord. He says, resist the devil that he may flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. The book of James is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. It has taught me so, so, so much. Consider Proverbs. Consider. Now, I start in maybe 13 through 22. There's a lot of meat in there. Consider it. Unless you do not have issues, then don't consider it. You might not. I don't know, I'm about 30 verses in climbing. I thought I'd be done right after about two or three. But it's changing me. It's changing me. Because I want to be quick to listen. I want to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man, it works not. The wrath of man, it works not the righteousness of God. Because the wrath of man, it works not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God that he wants me to work out is what he wants me to be quick to listen to. What he wants me to be quick to listen to is the engrafted word. And if you're born again, you hear the engrafted word. Double-mindedness is hearing it and disannulling it. A man that was exalted out of that diverse temptation heard and he did. He did what? He did according. He received the engrafted word. He did it. He fulfilled the law of liberty. Basically, in the Greek, it means the law that brings liberty, or the brought. Yeah, the law of liberty is, what did I say it was earlier, Pastor? A law that brings liberty in that trial. Meaning, you know what to do. You do what you need to do. And that's going to bring you liberty in that diverse temptation. And me and you walk according to royal law. And we do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ of glory with partiality. If we esteem each other equal, we don't esteem the rich man. In the book of James, there was a problem. They were catering to the rich and disannulling the poor out of daily distribution, food, shoes, or whatever it may be. They were disannulling, and they were picking the rich over the poor. But James said, look, you're partial. Partial to what? You're partial to the word of God. You've made yourself a judge. You've made yourself a lawgiver. A lawgiver saves, and a lawgiver destroys. You're certainly not trying to save your brother. If you're not trying to save him, then you're trying to destroy him. And that believer, that born again believer that knew what sin was and did it anyway, he was judged. He was judged. That's a whole nother teaching to an extent, but he was judged. He wasn't given to the brother of low degree because of his double-mindedness. One was plowing the field, harvest of God, preaching the gospel, and he had need. But the rich man, all he cared about was making an extra dollar and not caring about funding a revival. I can back that up to a T. I can back it up. The rich man was saving up for a rainy day. He was saving up for a rainy day while there was a man working, plowing the harvest field of the Lord. How do you know? Because it said, consider the prophets which were before you as an example of an affliction, suffering, and of persecution. He used the brother in the book of James that was of low degree. He compared him to the prophets of old that were ministering God's word. The rich man in the book of James, all he cared about was another dollar. Another dollar. And did not care about the one that was plowing in the field of the Lord. But I'll stop there because that's a whole other different direction. But the one that had the means and didn't sow to the brother that was out doing the will of the Lord, he along with his money was judged. This is a remarkable part. The brother of low degree that was doing the Lord's work, that heard the law of liberty, that did the law of liberty, that kept royal law, that brother, even the writer told him, judge not, lest ye be judged. In other words, you don't grudge against that rich man that didn't give you a penny. You don't grudge against him. You don't speak evil against him. You soldier, boy. You soldier. I'm going to stop there on that part of James, but going back to Proverbs in these last few minutes. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words, they stir up anger. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and by before honor is humility. And this last one, I know I covered a lot tonight, maybe a little bit too much. Maybe I should have kept the one part of James. But okay, it's too late now. Last one, and it's all one proverb. It's two verses combined with the same subject. You hear anything tonight, hear this, I beg you. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. You know one thing that grieves me real quick? I've prayed in tongues long enough to know that I'm not better than you because I pray in tongues. Did you get that? I've prayed in tongues long enough to finally conclude that I'm not better than you because I pray in tongues. That grieves me to hear that. I hear it so many times where we want to judge somebody because they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I hear it over and I used to be partaker of that. Listen. What we know is second to none. I know that, not because we know anything, but because we pray in the Spirit and we activate the teacher. I know that, but that doesn't make me better than anybody else because I spend the hours and you spend the hours praying in the Holy Ghost. When's that going to stop, man? I love what Tim Stemple told me in front of Miss Candy. He took me to dinner. He fixed me real good. And Julio was there. He fixed me real good in a loving, humble, firm way. Tim, the doctrine of election and predestination is gaining a lot of steam, isn't it, Tim? Homer, You're a degree off. We stay laser focused. In other words, shut up and don't worry about that. You worry about what we're called to do. You worry about what we're called. If somebody else is preaching wrong, that's fine. It's not fine, but I'm not the word police. And guess what? Neither are you. Now, if it infiltrates our church, by all means, we're going to correct it. But I'm not a better person than the other person that's not preaching correct doctrine. You're not the word police, and neither am I. Now, if it comes into this church, Pastor Bronk has addressed it, and he's addressed it well. And I stood behind him 100% and needed to be addressed. But I'm not better than anybody else because my doctrine is right. He that has knowledge spareth his words. And the man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Are you being a coward? No, no. What we know and what we're taught, I will die believing it. I will die preaching it. But I prayed in tongues long enough to know that I'm not better than anybody else because I pray in the Spirit for hours a day. Selah, think about that. Think about that. Will I preach on tongues again one day? Absolutely. Is praying in tongues the only true way to receive revelation knowledge? Absolutely. Can you back it up biblically? Absolutely. I love what Pastor Dave says. When a person doesn't pray in the Holy Ghost, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. And when they're wrong, they don't know that they're wrong. Do you get that? Because the Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's the earnest of our inheritance. He knows all things. We know we got it going on. We know that. We know that revival's coming to this town. We know that. But it doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It doesn't. So what do? We keep preaching what we know. We keep preaching sound doctrine. And if somebody inquires, we teach them. But I don't beat nobody over the head with it anymore. I hope I'm not out of order. I don't think I am. I think you get what I'm trying to say. When I'm not the word police. This is our pulpit here. Here we preach it. I've already received instruction from the Lord. I'm not preaching nowhere else. I've got invitations. I'm not going. Either I'm going to preach here when Pastor asks me. I'm not going to preach nowhere else right now. Unless somebody invites me that's on this walk, I will. But I'm not preaching nowhere else. Not until a season. So hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Am I backing down from this walk? God, no. God, no. No, 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 no. But I think the Holy Ghost is humbling me through his word and through the edification process. I just want him. I want to be meek. I want to be humble and bring God an everlasting glory. I don't have time to worry about the election predestination doctrine. I'm so glad Tim told me that. He said, Homer, stay laser focused. Yes, sir, Tim. Julio laughed at me, too, when he said that. Did you laugh, Miss Candy, when he said that? Did you enjoy that, Miss Candy? But I learned, and I took it on the chin in a good, loving way. And I taught Alex, who now, if I'm going to get it, Alex is going to get it, too. Because he wants to argue more than everybody on Facebook, Pastor Bronk. And I ain't one to gossip. Anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Did you enjoy that? Praise God. Me too. Let's all stand. He did have to incriminate somebody before it was over. We're going to have a offering basket up here for you before you leave tonight, if you'd consider giving. How many have a good time tonight? Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for all this word. We thank you for the word that just washes over us. We receive it with gladness. We thank you for it, Lord. We receive it with gladness. Lord, we ask you to bless our hearts tonight as you instruct us in giving. There's something for us to give. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we call on you, and we thank you that Immokalee is in revival and that all that we want to do is to know and hear from you. And we seek after you and give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you have something to give, bring it forward. Thank you.